Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today we're saluting the Tuskegee Airmen who overcame segregation and prejudice to become one of the most highly respected fighter groups in World War II. I'm joined now by Captain Al Monroe, an historian with the Daniel B. Matthews Historical Society and the Greater Pittsburgh Chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. He's a former Air Force pilot who mentors and trains young people interested in aviation. Captain Al Monroe, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Good to be here.
And if our listeners have a comment or question for our guests or for anything that you've heard here on the program, and Wendell Freeland is still in the studio, by the way, as well, our number is 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002. Our email address is EssentialPittsburgh@EssentialPublicRadio.org. And you can send us a tweet at ESSPGH. There has been obviously a renewed emphasis on the role that the Tuskegee Airmen have played in our military history. As you look at the awakening that the public is having, largely due to movies like Red Tails, what is important for people to know, and for young people in particular who, as we understand it, are not reading much about this in the history books, to know about the contribution of African-American servicemen in World War II and on into Korea and beyond?
Well, Paul, you know, with this new awakening, we're living in tough times right now. And I think the story of the Tuskegee Airmen serves a lot of lessons. It's a story of perseverance. It's a story of sacrifice. It's a story of commitment to excellence. And I think youth today can look back on that story and use it as a measuring stick for what they're doing today. You know, the youth of today face a lot of adversities, and we don't really do a good job of teaching our youth how to deal with those adversities. So this story serves as a roadmap, if you will, for youth today to become successful in the face of diversity.
I understand that the Western Pennsylvania region contributed the largest number of Tuskegee Airmen in the country. Why do you think so many came from this area? What was the major influence?
I think the major influence was, you know, people of Western Pennsylvania have a lot of pride in this area, and I think the main reason we find that a lot of the Tuskegee Airmen were from here were they wanted to do better. A lot of the folks here wanted to achieve greater things in life outside of Western Pennsylvania. A lot of folks wanted to serve their country. I think those are all contributing, or I think those are all reasons why we have such a large number of Tuskegee Airmen from this area. In addition to this area back in the 30s and 40s, was very affluent and wealthy, and a lot of the families, you know, worked in the service industries for those affluent folks. So a lot of these kids just wanted to get out of their situations and just become better Americans.
The 332nd Fighter Group and the 477th Bomber Group, were they meant to fly together?
The 332nd Fighter Group actually consisted of four squadrons. Initially, the two units were not meant to fly together, two different missions. The 332nd primarily had a close air support, an air interdiction mission, which is dogfighting or bombing targets on the ground, whereas the 477th primarily was composed of B-25 medium bombers, which the 477th was activated toward the end of World War II, middle to the end of World War II, and by the time these folks in the 477th were called up, World War II ended with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan. I believe the 477th pretty much had orders in hand to deploy to fight the Japanese in the Pacific. But as I said, the war ended prior to them having that opportunity to show their skill.
And why was the 332nd Fighter Group deployed but not the 477th Bomber Group?
332nd was primarily deployed in North Africa and Central Europe to fight the war in Europe, whereas by the time the 477th was stood up, the war in Europe was winding down, and there was more of a need or a shifting of forces from the European front to the Pacific theater. So with this need, a lot of the members of the 332nd, which was composed of the four fighter squadrons, the 100th fighter, the 99th, the 100th, the 301st, and the 302nd fighter squadrons, a lot of those crews, pilots, mechanics were transferred into the 477th with the anticipation of fighting the war in the Pacific.
We have a tweet from Barbara in Mount Washington, and or actually she's on a cell phone, I beg your pardon. Barbara has a remembrance of her dad who flew with the Tuskegee Airmen. Barbara, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello there.
Go ahead with your comment or question for Captain
All
Al
right.
Monroe.
Okay. Well, my dad's been gone about 10 years now, but I grew up listening to a lot of his World War II stories. He was a B-17 crewman, and Dad flew out of Foggia, Italy, and on the bombing runs to Germany, Czechoslovakia, Austria, et cetera. And he had lots and lots of stories, and I grew up with a lot of those pictures from World War II where, you know, pictures were taken from a B-17. You could see the plaque exploding around. And he talked about the Tuskegee Airmen. I heard about that probably first time in my teens, in the maybe late 50s, mid-50s, something like that. And Daddy would always say that they were absolutely fearless. And he told me about the segregated Air Force and how when they were escorted by the non-Tuskegee guys, the white guys, he said they would always turn back at a certain point because of the dangers, because of the flak, and because of the German fighters. And he said that when they were escorted by the Tuskegee fellas, he said they never lost a plane because the Tuskegee would stay with them all the way to the targets, you know, and then return with them. And he said they were fearless, and he said they were the bravest of the brave. And I wish he could be alive to hear this program and also to see Red Tails. It still chokes me up just hearing the story. So
I can hear that in your voice, Barbara.
I just wanted to share it.
Well, thank you.
You know, fearless and from the brave of the brave. And that was from a blue-collar, you know, Irish Catholic, you know, guy, you know, who was a tough guy himself. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, Barbara, for your comment. And Captain Monroe, Al, as you prefer to be called, typical story?
It's a very typical story, and I just want to say thank you, Barbara, for calling in. And sorry for your loss. Your dad was a definite hero. Those men that fought on those, that flew on those B-17s, we don't fight the same way we do today as we did then. On a typical B-17 mission, there could be anywhere from 50 to 100 airplanes in formation, which makes for a really tasty target for German gunners. To say one group of men was braver than the other, you know, I think the white fighter pilots, escort pilots, as well as the Tuskegee Airmen, both showed, you know, courage, you know, exemplary courage. The Red Tail airplanes were, there's a lot of story about the Red Tails escorting the bombers. They were very visible to the bomber pilots because of the Red Tails on the airplane. So the bomber crews, you know, knew immediately, you know, after the word got around that this was the all-black fighter group escorting us. And they racked up a pretty good record. To say they never lost any airplanes, I think that's been proven untrue. There were a few bombers lost under the escort of the 332nd, just like any other fighter group. It was a tough mission, and you know, those it was a different kind of war. So all those men that flew those missions over Europe and Germany are true heroes.
In our remaining time, I want to hit as many points as possible. We did receive a tweet from Stephen in Pittsburgh. He wants to know about the roadblocks for getting the training started for the Tuskegee Airmen.
The roadblocks primarily were that a lot of the white senior officers didn't believe African Americans had the aptitude to fly airplanes. You know, they felt like the only jobs that they were good at or they were able to do were menial jobs such as cooks, drivers. You know, basically the roadblock was that America didn't believe in its African Americans at that time, being able to achieve technical success. That was a primary roadblock.
As you look at some of the things that are happening today to educate young people, we have about a minute or so left, but I wanted you to talk about some of the things that you're involved in, including reconstructing some of these vintage aircraft.
I lived in Minnesota for a while. I was involved with the Red Tail Project, now known as the Red Tail Squadron. They were part of the Commemorative Air Force. I played a very small role in helping to restore P-51, which is now out in the air show circuit, and we'll be here in the area at the Allegheny County Airport at the beginning of May, and we'll have some information going public here pretty soon. In addition to that, since I've moved here to Pittsburgh, I've become involved with the Greater Pittsburgh Chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated. We have a lot of activities planned. We're recruiting volunteers to have fun with us to continue this legacy. It's an amazing story here locally that I think should definitely be made aware of to all the Pittsburghers here in the area.
How much will the construction of the Tuskegee Airmen Memorial in Sewickley, I believe that gets underway. The ground has been broken, but I believe the construction begins in earnest as early as next week. How much will that contribute to awareness?
It'll contribute significantly to the awareness, but Sewickley provided airmen, Homewood, the Hill District. There are several neighborhoods around Pittsburgh that contributed airmen, and what our hopes are to educate those folks in those neighborhoods about the airmen that came from those areas. So it will continue to educate Pittsburgh as to the airmen that are from these various neighborhoods.
Captain Al Monroe is an historian with the Daniel P. Matthews Historical Society and the Greater Pittsburgh Chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. And Captain Monroe, I know you like to be called Al, but I just want to salute you. And
thanks, Paul.
Say thanks
I
for coming
appreciate
in.
It. Thank you for inviting me, sir.
It's been our pleasure. Essential Pittsburgh is produced by Marcus Charleston, assistant producer Heather McLean. The executive producer is Tammy Turwell, senior news editor Mark Newtbar. Our engineer is Russ Lloyd, and our production assistants are Zach Kuntz and Rebecca Zook. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow, our guest is Anthony Daniels, well known as C-3PO in the Star Wars movies, and we'll celebrate the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. That's tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, so long for now.